I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. It's July. It's hockey season. It's Biscuits Calling a Hockey Podcast. I am Dave Lozo here in Brooklyn, and you know my friend Sean in Canada.
It's me, Sean, in Canada.
Hi, Canada.
Do you like contract extensions?
Oh, boy, do I. I hope everybody else does.
I hope they do, too, because that's kind of all we got going on in the NHL world right now. No Erik Karlsson trade. No Max Pacioretty, Phil Kessel, Panarin, nobody. Nobody got traded. And
I'm surprised Karlsson still is. Like, I don't, what's Ottawa holding out for? What are you doing?
I think, you know, they're holding. Obviously, the bidding war is not happening. And the thing is, we've got, there still seem to only be two teams. And this is based on what we've heard. And maybe what we're hearing isn't accurate. But if it's only Dallas and it's only Tampa, you kind of need,
yeah. But who's going to step up? Like, if no one stepped up yet, like there isn't like a team that really wants Erik Karlsson that hasn't made themselves known yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's a team somewhere that's just like they're like, again, I think I might have made this metaphor reference somewhere else, but it's not like in Trading Places where Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy are waiting for the price to drop and then they're going to start buying the frozen concentrated orange juice. Like, everyone who wants Erik Karlsson probably has already let them know they want Erik Karlsson. So
think I'm just surprised that we haven't seen the reports out of Ottawa or out of wherever saying that there is a third team now involved, like an unnamed, the mystery team hasn't shown up. Not because I think that would influence Dallas or Tampa necessarily, but maybe that might shake somebody else out. Like, if you're Vegas and you think maybe San Jose is in on this, does that bring you back to the table? Or if you're, you know, I don't know, if you're an Atlantic team, they've kind of been out of the mix. But if you suddenly think that maybe the Rangers are in on this, or, you know, whoever, does that maybe bring you back? You know, even if it's just pick up the phone and call Pierre Dorion and go, okay, where are we at? Is, you know, what's the price at right now? Is there anything I can do? I'm surprised because it right now, and again, I'm no insider. I'm not claiming like I would know what's happening. But from the reports we're reading, it's only Dallas and Tampa, and clearly it sounds like both Dallas and Tampa have kind of said, here's our offer, here's what we'll do, but we're not looking to increase this. So what do you do if you're Pierre Dorion? Do you get it over with and take a bad deal, or do you wait and hope something changes in the next 6 weeks before camp?
Well, I am an insider, and my sources that are totally real, I didn't make them up right now. I would guess that maybe Tampa isn't having an easy time moving out the salary because they have so many other trades.
Well, they,
I think that's,
they shouldn't have an easy time. Like, every team they call should be like, you know, and they're like, hey, can we give you Ryan Callahan? Every team should be like, yeah, just so I'm clear, this is so that you get Erik Karlsson and you're pretty much going to win the Stanley Cup next year. Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to take more than the third round pick for me to, especially teams in the Eastern Conference. You think they would be.
If you're Dallas, you're probably like, hey, we want to sign you to a long-term extension. And Erik Karlsson's like, how many times have you guys made the playoffs the last like 4 years? I don't know if I kind of want to live here the rest of my life and play for you. So maybe that's holding that up. And yeah, it's not a great situation, is it?
Here's another thing that somebody made this point to me on Twitter, and I hadn't really thought of it. But They said that if Tampa is out there shopping guys, trying to make deals to free up the space for an Erik Karlsson trade, should teams like the Leafs and the Bruins be out there trying to block them? And basically what that would mean is if they go to the Rangers and they say, we'll give you this draft pick if you take Ryan Callahan, should the Bruins or the Leafs be going in and saying, no, we'll give you a draft pick to just not do that and just try to close as many doors as they can to keep Tampa from being able to make this move? I don't see why wouldn't it be, right? I mean,
is that legal? Can you do that? Can you just be like, here's a second, don't make a trade with it? I think you'd have to probably give them like...
I mean, I don't know how you do it. A handshake element of it. But just to go in there, because those are the two teams, right? Like the Leafs and Bruins are probably the two teams that are most hoping that Karlsson doesn't go to Tampa, because then they've got to get, just to get out of the division, they've got to go through that monster that they'd have there. So, you know, just this idea that you call up some, you know, you call up Jeff Gorton and go, hey, what would it take to just get you to not help Steve Yzerman right now and just kind of see what would happen? You know, this is going to end up like the Rangers are going to get more from the Leafs for not doing anything than the Senators are going to get from Dallas for trading the best defenseman in the world. This is the kind of thing, I like the idea because it's the kind of thing GMs would do in a league where GMs were really trying to win. And like,
I was just going to say that, like, there's no, like, it totally makes sense, but it's like offer sheets. Yeah. Like they don't do those. So they're not going to do this. No,
they probably wouldn't, but it's kind of like, it's one of these, it's another one of these things where like NHL GMs wouldn't do it, but you would totally do it to win like your office football pool. You would absolutely,
oh, for sure.
You know, if you were like in the next cubicle and you heard someone negotiating a deal, you'd be like, no, I'm going to get in on this and just to screw it up. But no. That's why we're not NHL GMs. That's why we don't get invited to the golf parties. And
nope, we're outsiders. We think too outside the box for the current state of the NHL. Maybe like in 10 years we'll get those GM jobs. Like maybe in Seattle when that becomes a team. But yeah, for now, you know, we're the people that give away the free ideas on the podcast, and then, you know, some young, handsome, full head of hair GM comes in and is like, hey, I'm going to give you this so you don't do that. And he's going to be like, who taught you that? And he's going to be like, thought of it on my own.
Could be.
Thanks, well, Kyle Dubas.
Now you know. Jesus. Kyle, there's the idea from me via some person on Twitter who sent it to me.
So. Who did this, fam? Kyle Dubas did.
Exactly. You got it. All right. So since we're thinking outside the box.
Oh, God.
Let's go through some of these extensions that got handed out, because last week was extension week, especially for goalies, which is always tricky because goaltending is voodoo and nobody knows how it works.
It's voodoo, as James Roy says, voodoo.
Let's start with the big one. Marc-Andre Fleury. There it is. Marc-Andre Fleury coming off a fantastic season, coming off an amazing playoff run, gets the Golden Knights all the way to the Stanley Cup final, possibly the best year of his entire career, and also is now the franchise icon. He's the face of that franchise, beloved in Las Vegas and what have you. But he is also 33, 34 years old, something like that. Had 1 year
he's
left
old.
On his deal.
He's hockey old.
So they didn't have to do this now. But they gave him three more years. So 2020, 21, and 22 at $7 million a year. Yeah.
It's indefensible. It really is. It's indefensible in so many ways, because it's indefensible in a vacuum just because of his age. Even though I don't know why I always put contracts in vacuums, because that's a bad place for a contract. You're going to lose it. It's going to get all covered in dust and like dirt and like, you know, stray toenail clippings. You don't want to put a contract in a vacuum. I'm just saying, for this case, you put the contract in a vacuum and it's still bad because it's $21 million over 3 years for a really old guy who's been basically average or below average for a long time before this past season. But there's also this thing where it's like, well, they're the Vegas Golden Knights. They're an expansion team. They need a face of the franchise. They need to get to the salary cap floor and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, okay, but I kind of thought that once they kind of had the season they just had, you would sort of adjust. Like, yeah, it's your first year as an expansion team. And you say to yourself, boy, you know, we're going to stink for a while. We better just, and then, hey, look at this. It turns out you don't stink. Is what they did last year repeatable? I mean, probably not. But I feel like once you go out and you get Paul Stastny, you're saying, hey, look, you know, we can be a playoff team again next year. Let's go do that. Let's start, you know, trying to win now. And then you give Marc-Andre Fleury this contract where it's got real potential to submarine your efforts to be good when you don't want to be bad anymore as an expansion team and maybe compile picks. So why I can't understand, I guess, the value of having him be super popular and how he brings fans, he's a fan favorite and all that. But like at some point, if you're the fan favorite and you're clocking in at 9:05 and you're costing the team wins, like how long is he going to be the fan favorite? So I just, it's bad on a lot of levels, man.
If his contract was up this summer,
that too,
then I would kind of get it. Because then you're just in an impossible situation. You got to sign him. Your fans love the guy. He's coming off a great year. You almost just have to hold your nose and do it. But he doesn't need the contract. He has 1 year left on his deal, which means you can just go into the season and say we'll talk about it then, or you can let's have half a year and see how he's doing. Let's see if he's continuing to play at that level, and maybe if he does play at that level, maybe it costs even more. But that's life. Or maybe even go to next offseason. I mean, what is Marc-Andre Fleury really gonna just pick up and leave Vegas to go to Calgary or something like that?
Right. I mean, goalies don't go anywhere. Goalies never really move in free agency. They're really good,
especially
ones,
when they seem to. I mean, It's an argument for and against the contract at the same time, that this seemed like such a perfect marriage with Marc-Andre Fleury and the Vegas Golden Knights, and they loved him and he loves them, and face of the franchise and smiles and everything, and the fans love the guy. So, you know, on the one hand, give him his money, but on the other hand, where's he going to go? Why do you have to throw the money at him? And it reminds me a little bit of what the Senators did last year with Craig Anderson, where you had a guy similar age, I think a little bit older, coming off a similar kind of miracle season, coming off a similar season in terms of being a great year statistically, mm-hmm. and even being a great story. I remember with Craig Anderson and his wife last year, it was a great story. 1 year left on his deal. Rather than let that year play out, they give him a multi-year extension. In the case of Craig Anderson, they gave him 2 years. And Craig Anderson went out last year and was awful and was in a situation where they're now stuck with this contract for 2 more years that is nowhere near what market value would be for a goaltender coming off his year. In fact, to the point where we ended up having this debate in Ottawa where fans were trying to figure out, can you buy out Craig Anderson's contract that hasn't even started yet? Because it didn't kick in until July 1st. So when the first buyout window came in June, people were like, we need to buy out Craig Anderson. And they were like, you can't. That contract doesn't exist like until next week. So
I'm picturing like a literal debate too in Ottawa, like a town hall somewhere. Like we're like
we did it in Parliament. Yeah. Stood up, recognized the honorable member from Sens Nation. It was, I mean, I'm not saying Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be terrible this year, but he could be because he's a goalie. Yeah. So who knows, right? Like, I mean, and right. I just don't know why you, like, again, stepping back, as a GM, if I'm cold hearted and I'm just trying to win, this is the worst possible time to give a 3-year extension to a goalie in his 30s when he's coming off a great year and you've still got 1 year. Like, give him 1 more year. Maybe you still love him as a goalie, but maybe he just has a rough year and that brings the price down, because it's not like they got some discount.
It's bad. It's real bad. Also his concussion history too. Like, he's one collision or like shot to the head away from like not being able to play. Like, he's had some concussions and you're gonna lock him in until he's in his late 30s.
Yeah,
I'm
looking at it right now. He will be
37
cap hit wise.
He's gonna he's going to be up there. And also, too, this is also an example of how usually the whole negotiating 1 year in advance thing screws the player, because, like, Artemi Panarin, it's like, hey, let's sign a new deal. He's like, hang on, I still got a full year left on my deal. It's like, oh, we better trade you then. This is like the inverse of that, where suddenly the GM is screwed because of the whole year in advance precedent that GM's like, you can wait sometimes. You can just let your contract roll it to the trade deadline. Let's see what happens.
I just looked at Carey Price, Henrik Lundqvist. That's the only two goalies who'll have a higher cap hit than Marc-Andre Fleury when this deal starts. Now, maybe some other guys will get extensions between then. He'll be tied with Tuukka Rask.
I was going to say he's tied with somebody,
So it's not a discount. And this is the other thing where, you know, if I was a GM, one of the things that I would really push back on, because it's something that started, I mean, this started up years ago and you heard it sometimes, but it's just become so common now, and GMs have just kind of let it fester to the point where it's accepted. But this idea of players saying, I will not negotiate during the season. And, you know, this is a case where I don't know if Marc-Andre Fleury took that approach, but, you know, he and his agent, Alan Walsh, could have gone to Vegas and said, we need a new deal this summer. We're not going to talk during the season. So if you don't sign us now, we go into pretty much into the offseason next year with free agency looming. I mean, if I'm a GM, I'm like, no, you will negotiate during the season. The season is 8 months. We're not going to be squeezed into artificial deadlines, you know, just because, you know, you're, as a player, I don't want to be distracted by all this stuff. Well, that's what you have an agent for. Like,
exactly. This, also, yeah, like, unless you're Drew Doughty and you're negotiating your own deal, here's how it works for a player. I'm guessing, I've never played hockey for a living, but I'm guessing this is how it works during the season. Your agent does all the work, and then at some point in, like, November, comes to you and says, hey, here's an offer. I think it's good. I think it's bad. What do you think? And then for, like, a minute, you have to think about it, and then you get back to your agent and say, no, I'm going to pass. And then that's it. Then you don't think about it again until your agent calls you in 2 more months. Like, it's not as though, like, it's not like you're, you know, you're not, like, home all day, like, on your free time talking to your GM, being like, all right, we need to do something here about the bonus structure in the third year. Like, you're not. You have an agent for that. That's not, you're not negotiating in season.
You're not going to see a guy come in, like, cut across the red line, take a shot, and it goes right past Marc-Andre Fleury, who's not moving because he's, like, looking off, making eye contact with his agent up in the press box, running calculations. Like, you're not, I like that. This is one of the, this is why I wouldn't last as a GM, because I would be calling BS on the first, you know, I don't want to negotiate during the season. What are you talking about? You don't want to negotiate during this. Okay, well, I don't want to negotiate during the off season, because that's when we're focused on other things. You know, I got trades to make, so I'm not negotiating. Like, no, you negotiate when, you know, work together towards a deal. You know, it's the same thing with Tavares, same thing with other things. You go to these guys and be like, we need you to be willing to work with us during the 2/3 to 3/4 of the year that is taken up by the season where you're telling me you can't negotiate. So, all right, I think we're both on the same page on that one, that we kind of get where Vegas is coming from, but we don't like that. And I mean, I think the odds of that deal looking good in year three are not great.
It's gonna look, I'll tell you right now, it's gonna look bad this year. Like, they're not gonna do that again. It's just like what, like, in your mind, what number does he have to have for it to be worth it? Like 920? I mean, next year, year the deal doesn't start next year, but like the first year of the deal when it starts, like, do you think he's gonna be 920?
Yeah, I mean, what number does he have to have next year where you're not already kind of regretting it? Yeah, I mean, it's got to be up. He's got to be, you know, 915, 920. You would think. Even allowing that, maybe he makes a bonus for being the franchise player, and I understand that, and certainly, I mean,
it's good in the room.
Guess maybe the flip side of this is, and maybe this is the point that they were making is, you know, look at the playoff run he just gave you. How much money went into the Vegas Golden Knights' pockets based on making the playoffs? Period. Let alone going to the final versus going out in the first or second round, which you probably would have done if Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't standing on his head. So,
he cost the money by being so good, because it was a sweep in the first round. You only got 2 games. And then in the conference final, they played 3 in Winnipeg and 2 in Vegas. So I think they got the minimum there.
Game 5 in Vegas would have been...
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, it would have been a moneymaker.
If Marc-Andre Fleury cared, he would have tanked a few games against the Kings and gotten them 2 more home gates.
Selfish, more concerned with his vacation time than the team's bottom line. So, all right. So, George McPhee, the GM of the year, unanimous pick.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like that signing. But the other big goalie signing, Connor Hellebuyck, gets 6 years at $6 million and change.
6.16666, yes. One of those types of deals. Let me tell you, here's my feeling on this deal. I don't necessarily like this deal either, because it's like we always talk about this. Like there's been like one goalie in the last 10 years who you can just lock in for a long period of time as like a 922, 923 goalie, and that was Henrik Lundqvist. Connor Hellebuck's been doing this for what? Like a minute?
Well, here's Connor Hellebuck's career. 3 years ago, he breaks in, basically backup duties, plays 20 games or so. He's very good. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets very excited. Last year, he goes in as the starter and is not so good. Not bad, but not great. And then to the extent that the Winnipeg Jets go out and say, you know what we need to do is we need to sign Steve Mason
right.
to stabilize our goaltending.
That was a year ago.
That was a year ago. And then this most recent season, he's great. And, you know, leads the league in wins and puts up fantastic numbers, workhorse, Vezina nomination, all of that sort of stuff. So, I mean, he's fantastic this year. Clearly, if this year is what you... And he's 24 years old. So if he just showed you who he is as a goaltender and you get this season for the next 6 years, you're laughing. He had a Carey Price-type season... And he'll be making 60% of Carey Price money, and it's an amazing deal. But also, if you get last year for six more years, you've got one of the worst contracts in the league. And this is the one out of all of them that I just look at and I'm like, I just throw my hands up and I'm like, I don't, because whenever I point at something and say, I don't like that trade, I don't like that contract, like I feel like we have a duty to at least to some extent say, here's what I would have done. Or here's what they should have done. With this, I look at it and I go, I don't really like that. And it's like, all right, well, what would you have done? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what you do with a young goalie who's had one amazing season and needs a new contract right now. Because Hellebuyck, this wasn't the Fleury situation. He needed the deal right now, I believe, right? Like this wasn't a 1 year in advance sort of thing. So... I don't know. You tell me. You're Kevin Cheveldayoff. You're tired from a long week of never making any trades. What do you do?
I just don't like the length. It's not the dollar value I don't mind so much, but it's just locking in a goalie for that long is what bothers me. Because we've learned every goalie in this league, like Carey Price, like, hey man, Carey Price is great when he's healthy for the most part, but he's also had some not great seasons. And you're locking him in for 8 years. Like, I just don't like if they said, hey, 4 years and let's bump it up to 6.5 to take care of you because you're shaving some years off this. Just because, if he's bad next year, I mean, it still sucks because he's still going to have 3 more years at that number. But just, I get it. The age he's at, it's not as though he's going to decline because of age. But
from the Jets' perspective, because he was still young enough, he still had... I don't know exactly, probably 2 or 3 more years, I'm guessing, of team control.
Yeah, they're buying up some years.
So they're buying his UFA years, which in theory is what you want to do, right? Like you don't want to pay big numbers for RFA years because the player doesn't have the leverage in that situation. It's the UFA years that you're buying. And
just 1 year, though. I don't know. It's just hockey is so weird to me. Like Nikita Kucherov can be really good for a longer period of time, and the team will just be like squeezing him. And then Connor Hellebuyck. It's also about, I guess, how star for goaltending Winnipeg has been since the Andre Pavlik disaster. But
Connor Hellebuyck's probably the best goaltender in Winnipeg Jets history already. And I'm counting like both iterations of the franchise, which
even
is
Bob Asenza. Wow, how dare you?
Better than Pokey Redick. Better than the Tim Cheveldae era. Like it's, I mean, there's not a lot to choose from. So I get it that it's like, finally, we think we have some stability. And Connor Hellebuyck's like, it's not like he's some kid who came out of nowhere and just threw up a great season. You know, he's been a highly regarded prospect. He's been the future there for a while. Right. But I think I'm kind of more, I would have maybe gone and said, let's do 2 years to the point where, you know, let's, if he's got 3 years left of team control, let's do 2 years and then try to figure out, we'll do it as kind of a bridge deal. He'd probably come in around this same number. And do that understanding that if he puts up 2 more seasons like this, now you're in that kind of PK Subban situation in Montreal where they went to the bridge deal and it ended up costing them a fortune because he won the Norris and they ended up having to make him the highest paid defenseman in the league. Maybe you take the same risk, but I don't know, man. I just, I remember when I was, I don't think this exists anymore, but when I was young, the Blue Jays used to have a team policy that they would never give a pitcher more than 3 years on a contract. And it cost them some guys, like they would lose out on guys, but they were like, this is team policy. We just, pitchers do not, it's too hard to predict. We won't give more than 3 years. I wonder if like some NHL team shouldn't be doing that with goalies and just saying like, it is team policy. We don't go more than 3 years on a goalie and it we'll pay top dollar because he,
for those 3 years, yeah.
For those 3 years, but we're not giving out these, you know, 6, 7, 8 year deals. I like, if you're going to give 6 years to a goalie, a 24-year-old who is just the runner for the Vezina is probably the ideal guy to do it. But, man, I'm nervous.
Even Lundqvist, like, they finally gave him his 8 years, and, you know, they waited until he was about to go over the edge and his you know, aging arc was about to go the wrong way. Like, they didn't pay him for the prime years. They're paying him for the back end when he's going to be, you know, not great anymore. Like the Hellebuck deal could totally work out. I'm not saying it can't, but I don't know, it is a little bit like pitching. Like, look at David Price with the Red Sox. Like, he's awesome 1 year, and next thing you know, the elbow goes, and you got a $25 million a year pitcher for 6 years, and you're just like, what am I getting? CC Sabathia. There's so many stories in baseball, pitchers doing that. And in goalies, it's not about like the arm falling apart. It's just, I just think there's so many factors that go into how good a goalie plays. And, you know, what if Winnipeg is a completely different looking team in a couple of years and you find out that Connor Hellebuck is really just a product of the system or the players in front of him? And it's like, oh, man, we really paid for a guy we thought was going to be the difference maker when really he's just a part of the machine. And
so it's so strange, like the fact that you've got, you know, a guy at what we would all agree is the most important position. Like, if you're going to play, if you're playing game seven of the Stanley Cup final, and I can go in and say, here's a magic wand, you wave this on one of your players and they will have the best game of their career, you're going straight to your starting goaltender. Of course, that's
UC Soros
easily. But yeah, but it and yet it doesn't make sense to pay huge money necessarily to these guys because it's not because of the goalies. It's like our failure to properly figure out how to evaluate these guys and project them and put a dollar value on them. So I don't know. I mean, this one makes me nervous. I like the odds of this one looking good by the end of the deal a lot more than the Fleury one.
Oh, sure.
But it's a bigger risk too. You know, 6 years and who knows? 6 years from the same talent evaluating group that thought Steve Mason was worth a multi-year free agent contract.
All right, we're going to take a break, but we're going to extend the show by like a half
hour.
Should
we just do real quick, just since we're kind of doing the goaltending, should we, because you mentioned Juuse Saros, he gets like a little mini deal. That's an awesome contract, right? For the Predators, would we agree on that? Or
as long as we're ready to put Juuse Saros in a little earlier, I think it's a good deal. If he's just going to sit there and wait for Rinne to implode, no.
Split time with Pekka Rinne, and then he's going to be the starter for they're going to have a starting goaltender for 2 years at 1.5 cap hit, which is crazy. David Poile is good at this. This is what you do. This is sign your goaltenders when they're right before everyone knows they're about to take over. But apparently, Juuse Saros didn't know he's going to take over from Pekka Rinne this year.
They're just going to wait till Pekka Rinne submarines the season and they're 21 points out of the playoffs, and then they'll put in Saros once it's too late. No, I'm still not mad about that.
That's when you jump in. All right, now we can do our break.
Let's do the break. We'll come back and we'll talk more extensions. We'll talk trades that may or may not help a team circumvent the cap, and some other stuff. We got to get to the scenes too before this is over. We'll get to that. So stay tuned. Do you stay tuned to a podcast? I mean, you're not really tuned in. It's not a radio. You tune into a radio. Stay listening or whatever. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. I'm glad you guys didn't leave, because we have so much more to get to. And by so much more, I mean like two or three things. It's July. There's not really a ton of stuff, but we're here. We are your July hockey podcast. Biscuits in July are great. Just put a little extra butter on them and they're great. And speaking of putting extra butter on something, I don't know, that makes no sense. Adam Henrique is a very, very rich Anaheim Duck. And this is also another example of the 1 year before your contract expires dealy that really makes me wonder why we even bother signing contracts if they're not going to be treated as though they end.
I wonder if we'll see more of these now that Tavares actually left. Like, I wonder if that scares some GMs into like, oh man, like if we let a guy get, if a player is going to pull the I don't want to negotiate in the season, and by the time they get to the off season, it's like I might as well listen to offers, you kind of have to do it the year before.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what the players are going to want you to think, is that you have to do it the year before, because that's easily in their best interest, unless they're like a...
It almost makes more sense to do it with a guy like Henrique, because like he's not a star, you know what I mean? Like he would be coveted on the free agent market, but he's more of like a support piece that's really good, as opposed to like an elite first line guy. So, you know, you want to lock that guy up. I can see why Adam Henrique wouldn't want to wait until his contract expires. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, grab it now, right? Like, yeah. I understand if you're Mitch Marner and you've got 1 year left on your deal and you're about to play next to John Tavares and get, you know,
right,
maybe get 80 points, then yeah, hold off. But otherwise, yeah, grab it now.
Good for him.
This this deal isn't 5 years, 5.8 cap hit.
It's a little high, but...
It's high, but it's not on the scale of deals that I don't like. I mean, he's a 50 point guy.
Yeah, it's not great, second but line. It's not terrible.
This is high second line money now that by the second or third year of the deal will be pretty reasonable second line money. So he just has to still be a pretty reasonable second line guy by then. And that's no sure thing, because he's 28 now and this deal takes him through to when he's, what, 33 or whatever. So there is some risk, but I don't hate it.
No, but I mean,
I guess, see a ton of upside. Like, I don't think he's suddenly going to bust through, but
no, but I mean, I guess if you're in Anaheim, like you have to have somebody under the age of 36 that makes decent money, because at some point you're going to have other players besides those guys. But
this is the youth movement kicking
28. We're going young. We're locking up 28 year olds for 6 years.
You got to accept some rookie mistakes, but be young and exciting. And then speaking of young guys getting extensions, the last one, Elias Lindholm in Calgary, gets 6 years at a shade under five. And this was he was an RFA, so he needed the deal right now, or this in the off season, and he gets a little bit under five, but 6 years of it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is the one, like when I said with Henrique, I don't see the upside. This one does have upside.
Right.
Because the guy's 23. He, as we talked about, he finally got away from that coach in Carolina who was holding him down.
Never going to see him again.
No. Well, that's going to be an awkward first day.
He'll see him from behind for the first time and be like, man, from behind, he looks a lot like my old coach. He's got the same like build and like the same hair.
Oh,
wait
no.
A second. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No. No.
I mean, I like this. I like this for Calgary as a gamble. And I say that like acknowledging that it is a gamble and it might not work out. And 3 years in, you might be like, how are we paying $5 million to this guy who's giving us 40 points a year? And that's kind of where he's plateaued at. But this is, you know, I find NHL teams sign so many deals where the downside is that the contract is a disaster and the upside is that the contract is fine. And there's nothing like, and it's like, okay, so you're like, you're taking all the risk and your best case scenario is it's okay. Whereas contracts like this, there is a risk on the downside, but the upside is you, you maybe end up with a bargain for the next few years because he does find that next level of his game and of his production, and now you've got yourself a bit of a bargain. So I don't mind this one at all.
I'd rather you lose on a contract like this as opposed to overpaying for a guy into his late 30s. You know what I mean? Like, if you get this wrong, it's like, okay, but you know, it's a gamble. Every contract over like 5 years is a gamble, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right. So having done the, I think those are all the extensions, the big ones at least. Let's get to, we said there were no trades, but we lied. Because there was a trade. There's a Hall of Famer got traded.
Yeah, to a franchise known for acquiring Hall of Famers.
A Hall of Fame roster to rival
the Ring of Honor in Arizona. The Hall of retired jerseys in Arizona is going to be a thing of beauty in a few years. You go to that building and it's Pronger, Dotsuk, Hossa. Legends.
Marian Hossa gets traded from Chicago to Arizona in a multiplayer deal, but basically, really, they are trading his cap hit, and they gave up a young player in the deal. So Arizona gets something in exchange for assuming the cap hit, and it is a cap hit because the cap hit is like $5 million and change. But this is those last 3 years. Remember, Hossa had one of those real back diving contracts that from the last CBA, where the last few years were clearly intended to be the retirement years, and as it turned out, they were not for reasons that he thought. But he only makes $1 million each of the next 3 years, so he's got a 5-point-something cap hit, $1 million salary because he's injured. Insurance covers 80% of that, we're told. So basically, the Coyotes are paying $200,000 in real cash, carrying a 5-point-something million cap hit, and getting a young player out of the deal. And I think some people are looking at this saying makes sense. Some people are saying that this is, this is two teams working together and solving problems on both sides. Other people are unhappy because they feel like this is the Blackhawks circumventing the cap, or this is the Coyotes circumventing the floor, and that this stuff just makes the NHL look silly. Where do you come down on that?
I want to read you something that I find silly. Of all the things this day from this trade was the funniest thing to me. And it's the Blackhawks statement about Marian Hossa that they tweeted out, which I'm sure they emailed and stuff. But I forget who it was from. It just says statement from the Chicago Blackhawks. And it says, "Today is another example of the leadership Marian has displayed as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. When we approached him to discuss the idea of him waiving his no-move clause to allow us to make this move, it became clear this was a difficult thing for him to consider. After the success he has had in a Blackhawks jersey, the friends he has made," this is so stupid, "throughout the organization, and the fact his heart will always be in Chicago, the thought of disassociating in any way from the team he has come to love was not something he really wanted to give any thought to at all. But as the consummate team player, he did what he has always done. He did what the team needed him to do in order to succeed." Now, Sean, I don't know the ins and outs of what it means to be a player in an organization who's like retired but still on the payroll. I feel like this trade doesn't matter to him at all. Like, he can still go to the Chicago Blackhawks Christmas party if he wants to. He can still roll in there and be like, "Johnny T, what's up, buddy? Hey, man, hey, it's me, Marian. Remember me, Marian? I was on those cup teams." Like, this notion that, like,
security's
sacrificing.
Not gonna toss him out.
Right. He's Marian Hossa. Like, he this idea that, like, he did this, like, he fell on a sword. Like, who, like, he cares where he gets his check from. Like, this check has an Arizona Coyotes logo on it. Oh, man, how am I ever going to cash this at the bank in Chicago? Oh, no. God, I hate this sport. I really do.
And this is, and so people understand, this is related to the fact that he had a no trade clause. So you can't, even though he's not playing, you need him to waive his no trade or no movement or whatever it is. But you know what? There is a part of me that I can actually see this happening with hockey players, and not necessarily Marian Hossa specifically, but with players where they're like, "Hey, we need to move your cap hit, so we need you to waive your trade clause," and have the person be like, "I don't know. I don't know if I want. I like the idea of being a Blackhawk. I don't
I like going on Cap Friendly and seeing my name on the Cap Friendly Chicago Blackhawks page.
I don't know if I want people like at the end, like people to be like, oh yeah, and then he finished his. I don't know about that. And I can just picture a GM just being like, just sign. That calling the agent like, would you talk to him please? And the agent's like, maybe if you put out a statement about what a wonderful team player he is, that would, okay, yeah, great, team player.
What's cornier, this press release where they praise Marian Hossa for accepting a trade that will affect his life in no way, or like when players go back and sign a one-day contract and retire with some team? What's cornier? I don't even know. It's hard for me to pick one.
Oh, that was, yeah, he's being a team player by not being on the team anymore. So, I mean, I guess one thing that we should mention, because a lot of people mentioned this when the trade first happened and like, there was kind of the original wave of outrage, is this isn't actually a case of the Coyotes making this trade just to get to the floor. The Coyotes are well over the cap floor already. They're actually middle of the pack in terms of spending purely for cap hit. Now obviously some of that is isn't, but they've like their cap hit right now, they're higher than the Flyers, they're higher than the Rangers, they're higher than the Maple Leafs right now in terms of cap hit going into next year. So they didn't need this trade to make the floor. This is, in theory at least, this is John Jacob having lots of cap space, knowing that he'll always have cap space and using it to buy assets somewhere else. It's kind of this idea that of weaponizing your salary cap room. So, you know, in that sense, I guess I have a hard time getting too worked up over the logistics of it. Like the idea that this isn't, you know, this isn't how it's supposed to, well, but it is like, this is how the league has worked for years now. I get why people are kind of more upset just because it's Chicago and you're talking, they're three-time champions and this is, the cap is supposed to put the squeeze on them here and bring them back to the pack. And when they seem to be able to shake out of it and escape and find a way to regain that cap room, I get that that frustrates people, but this is what the NHL does. This is how it's worked. And clearly the NHL doesn't have a problem with it because the NHL is approving these deals, but the NHL approved the front loaded deals too, and then made up a rule out of nowhere years later to retroactively punish them. So who knows? But I do find it funny that Gary Bettman is lecturing people about signing bonuses in the lockout year, and yet,
right,
from what we've heard, is apparently fine with moves like this, where Chicago can, you know, they gave up a decent young player, but it's not like the Coyotes didn't get a haul out of this. I mean, this wasn't, you know, it's not like they held them hostage and got a ton. They got something.
My issue is just the fictional guy they traded, Mackenzie Entwistle. Like, come on, that's not a real person, right? That's just a character from like Downton Abbey or something.
The NHL 2018 name generator is needs a tweak because that's not realistic.
Mackenzie Entwistle. Hey, hello, love. Would you like to buy some pies? I'm Mackenzie Entwistle. How's it going, love? Boy,
he's gonna win MVP next year. And
yeah, he's gonna have like a 50 goal season, and then like people are gonna be like, remember what you said about Mackenzie Entwistle? What else? What else do we got? What else do we got to fill the hour here?
I think that's pretty much it, actually.
That's it. All right. Well,
I don't know. We can do reader questions, though.
You want to do reader questions?
We can do a lot of reader questions.
Let's see. Let's see what reader questions I got. Someone. Oh no, that's a reply to something else. Hold on, I gotta find the original tweet I sent out because I didn't have the password to the biscuits thing because I like took Twitter off my phone for the weekend, which by the way, I recommend doing it. Just not every weekend if you're someone who needs Twitter, but like, man, not looking at Twitter for like a full weekend is great because you miss all the frustrating, sad, angry news, and you also miss the memes like name a Muppet that you'd put in a movie that's got Muppets, but now there's no more Muppets.
That was great, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
I can name a movie. I remember seeing somebody tweeted that once. They're like, every Twitter meme is just people basically saying, I can name a movie, and that's it. And there's never been anything more true tweeted on that site. It's not a high bar, but
like, I have no idea who Eric Alper is, but I assume that's what he does for a living. He just tweets out questions that people quote tweet.
Yeah.
I remember that movie.
What is something about your... nobody... Name something about your job that other people don't understand and literally nobody cares about and wants to hear.
Oh, God. I try to think of jokes for those because I don't want to take them seriously. And I was really mad because somebody said it was the one where it was like, list all your jobs before you got into journalism. And I was going to do the song, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover. Yep. I was going to do that. Yeah. And I searched it and someone had done it for the first time like 30 minutes before me. And I was like, nope, damn it, can't do that joke now.
See, so, people who don't write jokes on Twitter don't know the stress of thinking of a funny joke. Being happy for 3 seconds, then immediately thinking, if I thought of this and it's funny, someone else probably beat me to it, and then searching.
I know.
And usually searching with, like, the wrong keyword, and then, like, that person did the joke but spelled it wrong, and then you get yelled at by everybody. I love that when you're like, you stole this joke from me. Like, all right, guy with 7 followers. Yeah, you got it.
All right, let's see some questions here. What do we got? What do we got from the question people? Let's see. Somebody wants to know what we'll talk about on the show when there's nothing to talk about. Pfft, you should have heard the first 50 minutes there.
You just found out. Art
over tag. Something about Baby Driver because Japers Ring tweeted me about Baby Driver this morning. Did Trump commit treason yesterday? Oh boy, this is just.
There's a lot of Trump questions. A lot of like putting Donald Trump in charge of the NHL or switching with Gary Bettman. That kind of thing.
All right, how about this? You get a time machine. This is from Cool, France 1. I don't know why that's so funny to me. You get a time machine and 2 years to teach the game in skating. What historical nation would you bring back to beat Canada at hockey? I'm thinking High Rome or the Mongols during Genghis. Is this like Dennis Miller's burner account? Like, what is this?
This is... Holy smokes.
Hey, babe, I'd bring back Charlemagne and have you beat him in hockey, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's Maginot line. I like the Maginot blue line. I'm shaking my head, twitching right now, but it's you can't. Yeah, I got to go with... I feel like 2 years probably wouldn't be enough.
Yeah, like if you taught like a country right now that doesn't know anything about hockey...
With a time machine to go back to like... High Rome and be like, all right, listen, neutral zone trap, the winger is gonna go, yeah it's a time machine, yes, it's a car, don't worry about that, don't focus, you don't know what ice is, okay, let me explain this concept. Yes, in 1,000 years, this is what we do for fun, except it's not fun and we all just yell at each other about it. What's that? I'm being stabbed. Okay.
All right, I appreciate the stabbing. I was getting tired of teaching this anyway. It's too hot back here. There's no air conditioning. Yeah, how do you keep the ice cool?
You guys finish stabbing me, and we're going to work on getting pucks in deep after the break.
All right, here's one. Here's one that might take some thinking. It's from Liam Neeson's, hashtag Key and Peele, Miss Key and Peele. I've sent this question before, but I think it would be fun to hear. You have to construct an Oceans-type ragtag group of hockey players to steal all of the money that Seattle is paying to get into the league that they conveniently stored at the Bellagio. Who's your team? Who's our Oceans? I feel like getting up to 11 might be a little bit harder here with no prep.
I feel like it's hockey. I think you got to go like Ocean's 6 at the most.
I would make Matt Zuccarello the little flippy guy who does all the circus stuff because he's tiny and he can fit through stuff. He's a little guy. Might be the smallest guy in the league. Maybe Nathan Gerby. I don't know if he's still in the league or not, to be honest, if Nathan Gerby's still there. I know Tyler Ennis got bought out. Go Matt Zuccarello. Matt Zuccarello be my guy.
Yeah. You gotta go PK Subban as like the George Clooney.
Like the handsome, dapper,
charismatic leader.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know if this relates directly to the movie, but I feel like Brad Marchand would really be helpful here just to go talk to the security guards. And within like 5 minutes, every security guard in the whole place would just have formed a little kick circle around this guy. And just you don't even have to say anything. Just go and just let them see your, just make that face at them. And
just licks a security guard and just gets his ass beat for 17 minutes while the Bellagio is being robbed.
Yeah, just like we're just in the background, just carrying sacks with dollar signs on them out while everyone is just putting the boots to Brad.
So I think he's kind of like, he's got like a little bit of that Scott Kahn vibe in the movie, like the older brother. Who would be Bernie Mac? Bernie Mac's got to be someone who works in, he's got to be the inside guy because he was the dealer. We need like an inside, like a...
So maybe it's got to be a Vegas guy, right? Like, Fleury, I think, is your...
Oh, Oh, I was picturing like inside the league. I was gonna say like Andrew Ferentz, maybe like Andrew Ferentz, because like he just got there and he's kind of new. He just transferred into the NHL.
What about Pronger? Isn't he still an active NHL player?
he's a Hall of Famer and he's a member of the Flyers, Coyotes, and NHL Player Safety Department.
He's the ultimate inside guy. He's there right now. You don't even and plus, you know, I think if you're doing a large scale crime, like I feel like Pronger would just show up anyways, even if he wasn't invited.
Maybe
just be like, are we making people sad today? I'm in. Let's do it.
Maybe he's either the Brad Pitt or the Carl Reiner, the Saw guy, because like he's gonna play a bunch of different characters because he's got access to all these different things. Like Brad Pitt was he was the doctor in the maybe Brad Pitt was just the doctor and kind of just hung out. Like Carl Reiner, I guess Carl
Reiner's kind of got the master disguise thing because he'd show up wearing the fake glasses and then he'd have like the beard one day and then not the other. So. And he's kind of the guy who's done the time on the inside. So yeah, that's I like that.
Although who are we robbing? Who's Terry Benedict? There's no Seattle thing yet. Like we need to have like a bad guy in Seattle. Like who? So we need like a really mean GM we don't like. Like who would it be? Like who's a GM you want to see robbed or an owner? I guess you want to see robbed is probably the better parallel. Like who's like a really rich guy we want to see stolen from?
Well, Jeremy Jacobs I think would be the first pick.
But no, it's got to be like a rich guy who doesn't have a team yet, who's going to be like, I'm the new Seattle.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I don't know who's going
to... Elon Musk.
Get in. Yes. That is the correct answer.
I've invented a tube that can get you from the blue line to the other blue line faster than skates. Yeah, we're going to rock that guy.
Under the ice, and we're going to go do it. All right. I like them in there. I want to get, I don't know why, but I want to get Brian Burke involved in this team for some reason, just to...
Oh, Brian Burke can be the what's his name? The Elliot Gould guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the guy who kind of like arranges it, because like he hates Elon Musk for some reason, because he wouldn't give him the tube. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation would be. We're just doing this on the fly. This is why people don't like improv shows. They want to go see stand-up comedy. Because
give me a movie.
Yeah, it's Frederick. Yeah.
And a professional sport. I heard hockey. Yeah. So there you go. We need some computer boys to like be the hack. I don't think an NHL player, you're basically like Roberto Luongo seems to know how to use a computer. I think that's
he's the best at Twitter. So that helps him. Like, is there anyone that like uses that Twitch TV thing and like broadcasts while they play Fortnite or something? That's like a thing people do,
probably.
Isn't it?
Probably.
I feel like we've filled out most of the roster pretty well.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know who's driving the getaway car. Is that a Taylor Hall waiting in a boat?
Yeah, they're in Seattle. Like you can just go right out on the water.
Just go on. You have your license, right, Taylor? Get in.
It's fine. I'm gonna pass it this time. I'm gonna use the open. Oh, shit. So you lift the anchor before you pull away. Ah, damn it! I screwed this up again.
Oh, man, this is...
God. My bad, guys.
Complicated. All right, there we go. That's our...
That's our oceans, I guess, between...
That's Dave and I's improv bit.
5 and 10. That's my favorite scene in 22 Jump Street is when they walk into the improv thing and he's just like, name something, and like Channing Tatum yells out dumb stuff and then he winds up sitting next to the improv group and they're like, hey, you're the guy that kept yelling out all the terrible suggestions, and he goes, thank you. Or he goes, yeah, you're welcome. He's like, maybe you guys just write down stuff beforehand because that's funny. All right.
You guys joke now, but we got two more weeks of shows, and if we don't get an Erik Karlsson trade, like that last week, it literally might just be... Give us a book, a time period, and a profession.
All right.
And it'll just be me and Dave yes-anding each other for an hour straight.
Take Jane Austen and cast it with NHL players who played in the 70s. Go. Oh, boy. We'll get back to you on that one. Well, I believe that is all the time we have. There was some sad news that we wanted to save to the end because
should mention that.
That's always the best place to put the sad news. But Ray Emery died over the weekend. He drowned, and it was extremely, extremely sad. He was a fun he had personality. He was one of those hockey players that had personality, and that's why I think people liked him a lot.
He was a fun guy to watch on the ice, and I said this yesterday about him. There are lots of guys in the NHL who played for a lot of years, and when they retire and they walk away from the game, you can barely remember kind of anything that happened with them. And Ray Emery was not that guy, for sure. On the ice, if you ever saw Ray Emery, you remembered him. And you know, for both the goaltending and some of the other stuff, on the ice he was a hell of an entertaining guy to watch. Off the ice, obviously a lot more complicated, and a lot of challenges that he faced and was facing. And it's very, very unfortunate to you know, anytime you see somebody leave us at that age. And you know, he had a lot of life left to live, and a lot of work left to do, and just very sad.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where you don't necessarily believe it, you know, like you just feel like, come on, Ray Emery, like that's there's no way that happened. And then of course, because Twitter is the garbage center that it is, someone did tweet something after the reports in the morning that was like, yeah, it turns out they haven't identified who it was yet. And you're just kind of like, oh great, but like really, like nothing had changed. But yeah, I mean, the guy overcame, you know, he had a degenerative hip condition, I believe, was his hip issue. And yeah, it's just it's freaking terrible.
So and obviously up here in Ottawa, it's hitting a lot of people here hard, because he broke through with the Senators and got the Senators to Stanley Cup final. Deepest run they've ever had was with Ray Emery in net. So tough one all around, and condolences and thoughts out to his friends and family and to his teammates as well, because there've been a lot of a real kind of outpouring from guys who played with him. And it's very clear that whatever else he had going on, there were certainly teammates who really loved playing with the guy and had genuine affection for him. So it's nice to see that in a sense, but obviously under tragic circumstances.
Yeah. Hug your loved ones, because you never know. So on that note, thanks for listening to another episode of the Only Hockey Podcast with a colon in the name. And we will be back for two more episodes in July. Monday next week.
Next Monday.
Tuesday the week after that. We'll say goodbye. Maybe we'll have like a big like season finale. Maybe we'll have like, you know, hey, remember that time in April we talked about that thing? And it'll be like
a clip show.
Yeah. You don't see those. Do they do those anymore on TV shows?
I don't think so.
Like you watch like a rerun of Friends, for instance, a popular sitcom from the 90s and the early aughts. There's times when you just have it on Nickelodeon and you'd be like, oh, cool, Friends is on. And it's like a clip show. And it's like, buddy, this show went off the air 20 years ago. I don't need a clip show. Like, don't show me a clip show.
So we're going to do. We're going to next week we'll do a clip show. And then the week after we're going to do a very special episode where there'll be an important message. And at the end, Dave will turn to the camera. We don't have a camera, so there's a flaw in my plan already. But and he'll tell you where you can go to learn more about the subject we just discussed.
We'll bring in Mitch. We'll bring in Mitch to come in and talk to us, as opposed to just
special guest
to
star.
Yeah,
there you go.
We never do guests.
Yeah, we don't do interviews on this podcast. Let's interview Mitch about hockey.
Yeah, we'll quiz Mitch. We'll be like, hey, so Mitch, what's the name of that GM in Colorado we made fun of all last year and then didn't really make fun of this year? Is it A, Pierre Dorion? You know, just all right, we're done. We've gone on long enough. Come back next week. Pre-order Sean's book. Don't pre-order my book, because there's no book to order as of yet. So yeah, you have anything you want to plug? Because I've got nothing.
I've got the column coming up this week on Vice Sports. I had one on Sportsnet yesterday that's probably still there. So check out both those sites and click on my stuff and everyone else's stuff and click on all the ads. Help the online content injuries stay around for another week.
There you go. Come back next week. We'll talk Sedins. See ya.
It's going to be good.